The first reading this morning is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 to 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on your hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you, the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels from Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord.
The gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 2, the first 12 verses. The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and go and search diligently for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. I'm sure to all of us a familiar story. But I wonder if it had happened today. Let's listen to where my wife's going to read that journey of the Magi, perhaps in a more modern theme.
So we got there, eventually. Delayed by issues at the border crossing, strip searches, sniffer dogs, suspicious officials flanked by hard-eyed young men and guns. They questioned us. Were we smugglers? Might the costly spices we'd bought as gifts be banned substances? And what of the gold? Was it to finance arms smuggling, insurrection, or business bribes? Did we stick to this cock and bull story about following a star? Why didn't we use sat-navs? Why this obsession with astrology? A star forecasting the birth of a Jewish ruler. That alone nearly got us arrested. But they let us go, their racial prejudice trumped by their conviction that we were harmless and crazy, bent on a wild goose chase. Finally, we reached the journey's end, despite the last unnerving interview with Herod. Sweet-tongued, but with ill-disguised murder seething in his eyes. Was it all worth it to discover by starlight a poor couple's baby boy in a tiny shack? Well, let me say this. On our first entering, we glimpsed majesty in his piercing gaze, an awesome moment, compelling worship. We needed no court officials, no smooth-talking press secretary, no trumpets, hype, or cameras. A human child, he manifested a wisdom welling from the depth of an eternal silence. Here, we sensed we had touched divinity. Now for us, life would never be the same. Home we went another way and found another life.
Well, how do you feel when a preacher comes out with hard-hitting challenges or rebuke that you've either done something that you shouldn't have or perhaps left undone something that the preacher thinks you should have done? There are occasions when I wish that I didn't have to sit through challenges that I think don't apply to me. Or perhaps, as the preacher, I refuse to say things in case I offend the congregation. But in the Bible, there are many examples where people are reminded of their sinful ways in no uncertain terms, and Isaiah being one of them. Our reading from Isaiah this morning follows a substantial chapter headed in my Bible, Warnings Against Sin. The people complained that having returned from exile, life was far from great. Jerusalem was in ruins, and they lacked the resources to rebuild it. Isaiah chided them and said God would have nothing to do with them because of a long list of sins that he cited they were guilty of. That's putting it bluntly. But then God did step in to save them and made a covenant that he would never leave those who repented of their sins. And situations changed. Nehemiah persuaded the Persians to allow shipments of timber and ironwork required to rebuild the walls and the gates of the city. More people returned to help rebuild. Traders from around the world came and brought wealth to the city. So those who had moaned were soon awash with resources to re-establish their city and to retake their place in the centre of God's plan. So Isaiah called, we heard at the very beginning of that reading from Isaiah, Isaiah calls for all to arise and shine in celebration as they see what God is doing. And so other nations too see the excitement and worship the Lord with them. Matthew's story about the Magi alludes to Isaiah's vision. The gentle Magi from afar come to Bethlehem to bring their gifts to Jesus, to mark his significance for the whole world and not just Israel. The story is rooted in the grim politics of the world. The Magi had to go and pay their respects to King Herod as they were in his territory. And as brought out in the monologue that Carol read to us, the journey was not a walk in the park. There would have been real risks of robbery. Possibly, although they knew they were following a star, they may possibly have got lost, not knowing where they were going. These wise men were not wise enough to realise the child they were seeking was not just a Judean king, a rival possibly to Herod, which would not have gone down well with Herod, of course. So they used their professional skills to follow the star, not really understanding where they were going, what they were going to find, until they found him. But still, people didn't realise who Jesus is. And it's true today that people don't realise who Jesus is until they are led by somebody to meet him. The darkness of winter short days, the darkness of bad government, and unjust structures, the darkness of people feeling abandoned, needing a message of hope and good news, the dark fear for many in some places if they dare to worship God. Parts of the world are like that. It is to such as these that God chose to bring the life, love, and light of his plan for his world. To defeated Israel, to a homeless child in a manger, to downtrodden shepherds shoved out on the hills, to distant Gentile Jews who thought beyond God's family. That was who Jesus came to live among and was born to. So if God can use such people and situations, how much can he do through you and me to bring love and light into our dark world now? It is a new year. It can be a time to celebrate, maybe a time to reflect. Often it's a time when people make their new year resolutions, things people might want to change in their life. Often our resolutions do focus on ourselves. I want to lose weight. I want to start a new hobby. I want to travel more. Things that we want to do. I made one New Year resolution some years ago. Never to make New Year resolutions. There's nothing wrong with making resolutions. But today, let's consider what it might look like if everyone's New Year resolution were the opening words of Isaiah 60. Arise, shine. How would our families, our communities, our churches and countries change if we were all to actively shine God's light? How would people living life in life's darkness be impacted by that light? Who would be drawn to that light? This year, let's actively seek to shine God's light so that nations, kings, and all people may be drawn to God, the giver of that light. Even though our stories today illustrate how the most unexpected people risked the call to arise and shine the love and light of Jesus, I'm sure we want to say, how can we possibly change the wrongs of war and dictatorships, etc., so difficult for us to think of as individuals? Well, a few shepherds went away praising God for anyone they met in their daily chores to hear them. Who knows the impact that the lowly shepherds had? A few magi went back to Gentile countries full of praise, not knowing how they would be received and believed. If each of us could do one good turn for someone, maybe donate a tin of beans to the food bank, or perhaps have given one of those gifted cards to someone, or a Christmas angel. All in the spirit of love, then leave God to use it, and he can do more than we can ever think or hope with our small offerings. So may 2026 be a year of hope, that we may bring peace, joy, love in those unexpected places, helped by shining God's love in our lives. Amen.